Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey everybody, on this episode of the Timeless After Show, we're breaking down season 1, episode 13, Karma Chameleon. Find out what happens when Wyatt and Rufus take a trip back to 1983. Let's do it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
867-5309. Hey everybody, welcome to the Timeless After Show. Look at that, 867-5309. Has anybody tried to call that number here on this panel?
I did one time, but it's disconnected.
No, oh, I'm sorry. So. Chris?
Not as of yet. Thank you.
No. All right, well, something Chris will be doing right after this episode. Or maybe we'll stay online and let Chris do it right now. Watch what happens live.
We can try it.
We can try it.
That's right.
Hello, hey, this is Jenny.
You got her. Hey, everybody. Welcome, as I said, to the Timeless After Show. We'll be breaking down, as we do every week, every episode of the season of Timeless. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter at HappyGoJackie.
I'm Alexis Torres. You can find me all over social media, Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff, at atorres890. That's A-T-O-R-R-E-S 890.
All right. And you can call that number, by the way. You'll get it.
Sure.
No, I'm Chris Howard. Reach me at Chris Howard Live on both Twitter as well as Instagram. And join me here on the panel for Timeless.
There you go. Join him. Why not? And folks, if you want, you can like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and hop in the chat. Share your thoughts about this episode or the season in general. Alexis has got Manny in the chat right here so she can hear and read, not hear them, but read them, all your special thoughts.
I can hear your thoughts.
That's right.
She's so talented.
I try.
So this a big episode because certainly for Wyatt, we've known since the beginning of the season that his wife has been murdered or died and don't know exactly the situation. But now Flynn's given him that information like, hey, I know who your killer is.
I think we did know that she was murdered. We just didn't know how. Well, no, we did. It was the fact that she had to pull over and she got, yeah.
Yeah.
So we didn't know who the killer was. So I'm glad that we finally.
Do we believe, though, that that was really the killer?
No. At least I don't.
Well,
clearly, from the evidence.
Looking at this of two points, either Wyatt got the Flynn got the information wrong, or Flynn was playing Wyatt
right.
to see what Wyatt would do, knowing
Flynn
him and get him taken out of the team.
So,
interesting. I thought at least, given the backstory and the kind of similar kind of experiences where they both have lost loved ones, that Flynn would at least be above board on this, but showing that again, Flynn will do anything and screw over anyone to get what he needs.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sad.
Good old Flynn playing the long game there. but we do see that Wyatt, though, touches base with Lucy at the beginning of the episode.
Uh-huh.
What an honest guy. Honorable man. Kind of filling her in on the plan.
Yeah.
He's got pretty blue eyes. Oh, did you notice that?
I feel like every episode they get bluer because I feel like they're just color correcting his eyes for tension.
Did you feel the tension?
No.
Oh.
I liked the fact that he decided, I'm going to tell you because you're my teammate, but I'm also going to let you know you can't stop me. So, and also you can't come with us. Well, okay, cool. Bye. Thanks.
Yeah. But at least he had a good reason because Lucy's got that deal with Adrian Christopher to get back her sister Amy.
True.
So knowing that if she did go on this mission, she'd lose that opportunity.
Yep.
That is a good reason. Yeah, because we were wondering how it would go down. Would she know? Would she be engaged? Would she not? It was interesting how it would, and he was protecting her because surely she'd lose that deal.
Now, for sure.
Yeah. We've got that on one hand, Wyatt opening up to Lucy and getting her, just to go along with the plan. But then you've got Rufus and Gia, and Rufus mentions none of this to Gia, and you can really see that kind of hurt expression on Gia's face.
Yeah, but at the same time, I also understand how Rufus is. Rufus is kind of the type of person, like, the less the more you're not involved and they don't have to blame you for it. But I obviously understand where Gia's coming from, where she's like, we're supposed to be together. You're supposed to tell me everything. You can tell me if you're in trouble.
And yeah, the reality, though, is she would get in trouble as to your
no,
first point.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. So I feel like it is a selfish reason, but if you're in a relationship, it's one of those things where you can get upset about because the fact it's like, we're supposed to tell each other everything and you couldn't even tell me, but,
How would you guys handle that situation? Would you be more like Wyatt or more like Rufus?
For me, it would probably be more like, I would be more like Wyatt. I usually tell my fiance everything or my friends everything, especially if something's going down, even if it ends up
hurting you.
Yeah, now. Hurting me or hurting them or something like that. I know that they can take care of themselves.
I'd probably tell too.
Yeah.
You?
Man, it's one of those, like, you always want to think that you'd be Wyatt, and then right. In the moment, you might be more like Rufus. Like,
which, again, there's nothing wrong.
Or the
wrong
other
with,
way around, too.
Yeah, and the thing is, there's no wrong answer. It's just your own personal opinion on that aspect. But I also want to know what the chat also feels like.
Very true. I feel like the Rufus's comes with a lot more of the talk afterwards. It's going to be...
Right.
Yeah.
That comes with a lot of, like, well, all right, you jerk, why didn't you do this? So
was it just me, or was Rufus different in this episode? Like, the character seemed softer and kind of whinier in this episode.
Well, I mean, I think it's mostly just because of the fact that he already opposed doing this, but he's doing it for Wyatt, but he just also doesn't... He's also upset because Wyatt is on this track of just murdering people. So I feel like he's in the middle where he's like, I want to help you, but I'm really tired of you trying to kill people because you're upset that you don't have your wife back.
Yeah.
Got it.
And I mean, you, as much as Wyatt is saying, like, I want to do this it without killing anybody, how much can you really think, like, is Wyatt going to stick to that?
See, I thought it was a pretty darn good plan to think of, interrupting the meeting in the first place. That's like, okay, well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he could have been a complete tool and actually shot both of them and left it at that. But no, he was like, I'm just going to break them up. And I'm like, cool.
But we'll see how that goes.
We'll see how that goes. Yeah. So
I mean, that certainly gets into the talk about certainly how much, like, fate plays in the hand when you're going to time travel.
Yeah.
You know, if time wants something
but
to happen.
But the thing is, we've seen it, though. They tried to prevent the Hindenburg. The Hindenburg still blew up,
mm-hmm.
and people still died, and more important people died at one point. Like, it's time is a finicky thing. Whether you want it to happen or not, it could just be like this is the day. This is
that gonna happen. Although they saved the other two, like in the
they
end,
did.
We
they
find
saved
out they
the
saved
other...
the other two girls.
Yeah, you know. So like, it doesn't really matter. It's just that time is, again, a fickle thing where it can go one way or it can just stick to the path that it's already been brought. So.
Now, we've also got one other character that got introduced last episode that you guys weren't here, so I didn't want to hear your quick thoughts about Emma, who's been rescued
Dude,
back from
so
1800s.
Cool.
Yeah.
I loved her cabin of all her little technology stuff because she was going out of her mind. I did feel a little bit weird that they just, like, brought her back and she's just like, all right, I'm here to help you. But at the same time, I understood why they brought her back is because she's literally the first pilot, and when she found out about all of Rittenhouse's secrets, she's like... Nope, I'm just going to hang out here and live my life forever.
But what was weird was they were, like, she came back to basically replace Anthony, right?
Well, that certainly wasn't the intent, but it becomes that.
I mean, that's how I knew. I was like, something's going to happen. Yeah. It's going to suck, because they don't usually bring in a new character unless someone either is going to leave or they just needed an added team member.
And the question, like, oh, you know how to pilot this? You remember how to pilot this? Yes? Okay, that's enough. I knew Anthony was going to die at that
moment. Yeah, because she's like, yeah, it's like riding a bike. I was like, well, Anthony's dead. There's that.
Poor Anthony.
Which sorry sucks, to jump ahead, I really like that actor, too. So I was like, oh.
But I do like how frustrating the show can be sometimes, because you come in just after that where Emma starts to seem like that, and that's Rittenhouse's dirty little secret. Like, how about we could have started this?
I know. I was like, Frank must be so upset right now. And he's like, oh, so how do you feel about that? And I was like, ooh, I guess we're never going to know what that is.
See, I thought I missed something from last week's episode because I didn't. I missed it. And I thought, I need to catch him. I'm like, oh, that's the secret. What was it?
No, but that's the problem also is when we do find out the secret, I was like, how is this actually a secret? We all kind of knew this was going to happen. You have a time machine and you clearly want to take over the world, so yes, we're gonna go back and change time and use it. Okay, yeah.
Admittedly, once we heard what that is at the end of the episode, I was like, oh, I expected something.
Yeah, I expected something totally different. Like,
really
they were gonna
crazy.
Like, I thought they were gonna, like, I don't know, like nuke the White House. I don't know, something like that. Like, I didn't think it was just like we're gonna go back in time.
We're gonna change.
And we're gonna change the past. Period. And I was like. Okay, what have we been doing for the entire scene? Again, it's not a bad thing. It's just I was expecting something big. Like, oh my God, this is amazing. I was just like, okay, yeah, that's what we've been doing for the entire, like, you know, 13 episodes.
But I also think that this serves in a really small focus what Wyatt's story can serve, like a cautionary tale to Rittenhouse, that you could go back and try to change something, and it's still not going to give you the desired outcome that you want.
Although they've been changing things all season, and we've been seeing things that do change, so there is a ripple effect for a lot of things.
Yeah, so I feel like it depends. Maybe if they actually know their actual starting point, not just the fact of, like, okay, we know that the parents are there, like, to to bring Wyatt's situation into play.
Right. Maybe he might not have had enough information.
Clearly, but. Because he couldn't even get people's facts right. He couldn't remember the hotel that they stayed at. He completely messed that up. And just well, that's Wyatt, though. Clearly, that's not his character to know every detail. He just kind of knows enough to come get on. Him by. But
he's
at the same time,
Delta
I'm
Force.
Like, yeah, and then in my brain, I'm like, but you're also a special ops agent.
He's just a dumb soldier. His game was off tonight. He didn't have game. If he had game, it would have been fine.
No, I think it was also the fact that he was running on emotion, which is saying, right. I'm not saying that emotion can cloud your judgment, but in certain
yes,
aspects.
It can.
Yeah, but like, you know, I don't want to say like, oh, because a lot of people say, oh, don't be a girl about stuff and you're emotional. Like, I'm not going to get into that kind of stuff, but I mean the fact that, like, as a fighter, as a martial artist, they try to tell you, don't get angry. Like, some people will say, no, that's great. That's what you're supposed
Yoda
to fuel.
Says that.
Yeah, you're supposed to fuel that anger. And, never mind. Yeah. But no, technically, because you're not thinking straight, because you're just thinking, I need to start swinging at something, it's not going to get you there. Hence why martial arts is supposed to be more peace of mind, exactly. Instead of just someone who just swings at you rapidly. So that's how I saw that this was not going to end well for Wyatt, period, because the fact that he's not thinking with his brain, he's thinking with emotion.
Very true. We do also have, I do like Rufus, though, in this episode, boy, because when they first get back to 1983, he's super excited to be seeing the original episode of Air Team.
Team.
Yes. Oh, there you go.
And he's all decked out Don Johnson.
I know. I was like, what am I watching, Miami Vice? What's going on here?
I guess that was a thing in the 80s, huh? There was only Miami Vice. Miami Vice and parachute pants. What else was there?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I also, as a person who's really geeky, as you can tell from my Mario shirt, I love that they were in a bar that also had an arcade. It, which is funny because now that's like a thing. It's like, ooh, bar cake, you know, and like that's like the cool thing. I'm like, no, that was just bars back then, but no, you know, whatever.
It's just
games.
And we see Wyatt do something right now that's going to end up costing him later in the episode. He finds out that Lucy's Claire's plane landed 20 minutes early. Ben has to go talk to the other stewardesses on the flight, which is going to come back to bite.
Again, he doesn't understand that he needs to remember every detail. And I love that Rufus was the one that was like, they're called stewardesses, not attendants.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, and like the fact of just like, again, not knowing the hotel name. He didn't realize that her flight landed early. You know, I mean, it was a long time ago when they probably interviewed her. Or if she's retelling the story, that maybe she forgot that.
Yeah.
You know, you need to do more research. Or just get there 20 minutes early to be safe.
Let's be just on time.
Yeah. You know, I'm like, what would happen? What if they were late? What were we going to do for like another hour
Wouldn't
or
you
two?
Be there a day in advance?
Yeah, I would like to do that. Like, all right, like, we have a whole 24 hours. Let's regroup and really like do some research on the airline that she's on, the people that she's working with, the hotel, the bartender, all this kind of stuff. Just like, oh, I got everything from the one report that we did back in the whatever.
Exactly.
Yay, good for you. Like, what? That's stupid.
Get lazy with that time machine, man. It's like, oh, we can just go in the last possible second. It'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, not a problem. And it's just, I'm also figuring out, like, hey, these other stewardesses or flight attendants would not be going back to the same hotel, wouldn't they? So maybe I should not say that I'm an old friend because they'll probably just see me there.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Again, Wyatt wasn't thinking clearly. He was just thinking, I need to find them, break them up so we can get back and I can see my wife. Which, again, I totally understand where he's coming from. It's the last hope that he has to hopefully see his wife. And that's why the breakdown made sense when we got back.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, you also got to be smart about this, too. You can't just be going all willy-nilly hoping that you're going to just wing it. That is not a good way to do time, period. Yeah.
Like, but it's realistic at the same time.
No, it is. And that's why I can appreciate it. But at the same time, I was like, dear God, Wyatt, can we, I don't know, use those brain cells? I don't know.
Well, that was frustrating. The other part, getting back to Emma, Anthony, and Flynn, they have a conversation about, like, once they know what Rittenhouse's agenda is, they say, well, why don't we just blow up the time machines? And that would stop everything.
I like that she agreed, too.
Yeah, so that's like, a great idea.
That's not a bad idea.
And even though it would only buy them maybe 3 or 4 years because they could build another one, Flynn is like, nope, that's not good enough. We got to stick to the plan and just wipe them all out of existence.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's actually a good plan to wipe them out. It sounds like if what we know is true, sounds like a good plan. You know what I appreciate about the whole structure that they're putting over it is, doesn't it seem true to life that, you know, when they say, they went after MLK, they went after JFK, people that were bucking the system, the rebels and stuff, because they wanted to control. Don't people feel really at some level that there might be like some sort of Rittenhouse?
Oh, like in general?
Yeah, in real.
I
real
mean,
life.
I don't know.
The conspiracy theorists do, you know?
Yeah,
it's just
yeah,
like the people that are kind of, yeah.
Yeah, but it just seems like Flynn's way, just trying to wipe out who knows how large this organization is, an accurate headcount. But yeah, I mean, so you're going to spend the rest of your life trying to get rid of this organization.
And again, it's not even reliable. I mean, at least with the time machines, if you blow them up, you do technically have a couple of years to work on it, especially if you're on the run out.
And he doesn't even know who they are. Like, I mean, not really.
Besides,
the family line.
Yeah,
and
yeah that's it. And whatever's in the journal.
True. And you don't know if you kill any of those, what happens to any of their friends or family. Maybe they take up the cause, and then you may have taken up that person.
Yeah, just like how we did with this, with the son.
Yes.
You know,
but what
also
about the journal now, like, with everything that we know now, is there a place that we see that the journal would fit into what's happening, why she wrote it and stuff?
I mean, with again, not to jump too far ahead, but from the meeting, even though she seemed obviously very adamant, like, you know, we're never going to work together, you never know, maybe at one point they have to reconvene. I have no idea. Or maybe the mom knew about it this entire time. I mean, you never know. I just also don't believe the journal to a point. I feel like maybe someone else wrote it. I don't know. Huh. It literally, because this show can go in any way, shape, and form, we have no idea where it's actually going to go.
We do have Anthony calling to speak to Rufus, getting him on board to, hey, let's blow up these machines together. But, of course, Rufus is gone, so he will only talk to Lucy. And I got a little frustrated in that scene for Lucy saying, why do you want to speak to me?
Like, oh, my God. I know.
Lucy, why do you
have the conversation?
I'm like, why else would he want to talk to you? Why would he want to talk to anybody else there? Oh, I want to talk to Gia. I've only met her a few times, but I want to talk to her and tell her everything. Okay.
Come on, Lucy. Be smarter than that. Get out of
again,
here.
Everybody's just kind of, Rufus is the only one who's technically thinking like with his head, and I was just like, "What is happening?" My team.
Yeah, and then we get to watch Wyatt and Rufus at the bar, the Toledo Express Inn, with Claire, with Joel, the essential parents to be of the serial killer.
Yeah, everybody in the chat was talking about the actor who played Joel. Apparently, he was in Hannah Montana and in Falling Skies. I don't know the actor's name, but apparently that's where a lot of people recognize him from. And I was like, cool. Two shows I did not watch, so that's why I was like, oh, he looks nice.
Yeah, they definitely have that kind of like meet cute, kind of flirtatious kind of vibe between them.
Yeah, it seemed like every time they met eyes, it was like, oh, and I was like, is that how that works? I feel like that's not how that works, but I mean,
it's been
I don't
a while.
Know. Yeah, I was like, I don't think that's no.
Now, when you looked at him though, did you think that Matt Lanter, did you think that Wyatt had it over the bartender? Like, who was the better, who was hotter?
I don't know.
I mean, like, I do like why I went in first with the Delta Force to try to like...
That was pretty
good. I know.
Good.
And he's like, look into my eyes. Do you think I'm a liar? And I was like, oh, I'm going to go puke in a bucket. I'll be right back. I'm not into...
See, I was thinking if Wyatt just tried to bring her home for the night, that it could be...
But I also... Like, I was also thinking the same thing. I thought that he was going to try everything in his power to get her to the hotel with him instead of with Joel. But it definitely didn't pan out for him. Right. It was just...
Slowly. Then you think how weird it would be if she still conceived the baby and it was his baby that became the
serial
killer.
No, he wouldn't actually sleep with her.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think that would have happened. Yeah. I mean, I think that would be really far-fetched, but I mean, I don't think that would have happened.
But we definitely see that he's on very much of a slippery slope because everything starts going wrong. Because
he's not remembering his facts, and he's also thinking too far.
The fact that, that there was a tornado, like, nobody mentions that.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be really important.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, I wonder why they were in the hotel so quickly. Yeah, because they couldn't actually leave.
They couldn't leave.
But we also got to meet, let's give a shout-out, though, to Claire's friend, Becky. Who is also a huge A-Team fan as well as Manimal.
I know, I love it. Like, because I was scared that Rufus and this girl wouldn't connect and she'd just be awkward and like, okay, I guess I'll just sit here. But like, no, she's like, I love Manimal, and I love, like, it just, it was so cute.
But he was clueless. He was like,
well, but it also also pertains to his character. He's a nerdy, quiet, mousy. Well, not mousy anymore, but he is a mousy character where he doesn't pick up on ladies' signals, and so he was just kind of like, when she was like, oh yeah, you know, I'm gonna go, you know, we have to stay in and stuff, and he's like, all right, you can go play Galaga, and I was like, I would do the same thing. And like, we can go play video games. No, you don't want to do that. No, all right, fine. You go play the jukebox. It's okay.
And I do like it because the plan is Rufus is going to keep his eyes on Joel. But so when he...
Oh, my God, that was so funny.
That was the best scene tonight.
But that was also another thing where he was just so clueless. He was like, I just want to hang out with you, bro.
Yeah,
he
was
just like, I just want to hang out with you. And Joel was like...
Yeah.
So you're telling Malcolm, that was very
That was so good. I loved that. That was... like astoundingly amazing. Oh, I loved it. That. Also, I love the timing is terrible, but I love that we got to see Pac-Man a lot in this one because the creator of Pac-Man passed away today. So I thought that was really interesting that we got that because they were like, he's like, oh yeah, I've been playing Ms. Pac-Man for years.
We would never know that if you weren't such an Encyclopedia Britannica.
It was all over the news today.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Did you know?
I did.
Oh, okay.
Come on, dude. Just kidding. Ivan's asking, what is Manimal?
Manimal. One of the coolest TV shows were I wish I could remember the actor's name. But he could turn from a man to an animal.
Any animal?
It's what the title is. Yes. It's literally animal.
It's great. And because I saw Malcolm's Twitter last night that he sent out a tweet, but he also attached a picture from Manimal. And I was like, oh, nice little reference. And then not realizing how much it played a part of this episode, I was like, oh, sweet.
That's pretty funny. Awesome.
I barely remember that.
I think it's like he could turn into a panther and an eagle or a hawk.
I knew there was a bird and there was something with four legs and I couldn't remember what it was.
Do you remember the man from Atlantis?
Patrick Duffy.
Yeah.
Because there's like an old school comic book of that too.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out if that was 80s or 70s. Maybe it was 70s even though.
I'm not sure. I've read the comic. I found those one at a convention based on the hit TV show, The Man from Atlantis. So things start
Simon
going.
Simon Mac. I can't say that because I am.
He's British.
Simon McCorkendale is the actor.
Nice, because I remember he had an accent.
Okay.
I know what he looks like, but that's about as far as I can.
What did he do on Hannah Montana?
No, that's Joel.
Oh. No, we're still talking about Manimal.
Wrong guy, okay.
We're going on the Manimal. Yep. When is that getting remade? Let's get some hot Manimal.
Oh my gosh, I'm surprised that hasn't come back. That's hysterical.
So, of course, Lucy agrees to go meet with Anthony, and Mason wants to be part of it.
Wouldn't you want to know? I want to know.
Absolutely. But I like how Mason's like, I should go because I don't know what Anthony for
What's
years.
Up with Mason, though? Why is nobody trusting him all of a sudden?
Because remember, why am I forgetting our agent? Agent Christopher knows that he's been sneaking around and she's been following him.
Right.
So he knows that he's been meeting with some dude that
she
doesn't know. He's
in with Rittenhouse. He owes them money, probably.
She doesn't know any of those details. She just knows that he's been meeting with someone in secret and lying about stuff. That's all she knows. So I think she listened to the conversation that they had.
But Anthony said, don't trust Mason Connor. Yeah.
Last episode that basically when Rufus said that, gave that recording back to Mason, I'm the pilot, what are you going to do without me? I'm going to drop the mic on this.
Yeah.
But he chose a side. Mason chose a side and it was
He went the other way.
Because he's grooming Gia to replace Rufus as the pilot.
Yes, which I thought was really cool, but also I'm very afraid for her.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Rufus is on the clock. His time's on the pilot. He's got about 6 months before he's going to be ousted as a pilot.
Got it.
Yeah.
Wow.
But that's why I'm hoping
that ousted as a pilot means more than just getting ousted as a pilot. It means getting...
Who knows? I mean, at the very least, you're boxed out.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah.
Without any access to this technology. Of course, Lucy goes to do the meeting and has a tracker on her. Anthony.
So dumb.
Anthony gets the tracker off because he knows.
Well, they're going to do it. They're going to put the tracker.
I mean, no, I knew that they were going to do it, but he said on there, he's like, do not put anything on you. I will know if you're wearing a wire. And I was like, we're just going to pretend that. And I love how all of us were upset when he puts the tracker onto the briefcase and they're like, oh, she's moving again. And they all find this random woman who looks nothing like Lucy. And they're like, put your hands up. I'm like,
that was weird. That was
dumb. Yes. She looks nothing like...
And weren't they supposed to be protecting her anyway? It wasn't
they know what she looked... Anyway.
That was so frustrating. Like,
I was just like, come on. Like, I know there was probably something really little and probably most people didn't catch it, but the three of us are just like... No. Come on. Moving on, I'm sorry.
That was a frustrating moment, though. But during Anthony and Lucy's conversation,
Jet in the chat says, yes, Agent Christopher does know about Mason's money issues. I think she's the one that told Rufus about it. And I'm like, I don't remember. It was a bunch of episodes ago. But yes, that sounds about right. Yeah. So.
But Anthony, at least, certainly much like Flynn kind of realizing, though, that his family thinks that he's a monster for everything that he's done. And basically, he is just a cog in Flynn's machine. And he can't do it anymore.
I mean, I don't blame him, especially now that he knows what their plan is, which is pretty basic to me.
Yeah. As he tells Lucy, I'm going to blow up the mothership. I hope he blow up. I'm going to blow up the mothership. Let's get rid of all these time machines.
Do you believe it really got blown up? I don't.
Well, no.
No, we saw it.
Yeah, did we see it at the end?
Oh, no, 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 you're right. Because we didn't see actual evidence of it actually being blown
up. Right, they
so
just
they
said there's a big explosion.
Yeah, there was, but they left because they took the C4 and just blew up the building.
Right.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm assuming. Yeah. Because the building is probably big enough for it to look like they could have blown up the mothership.
Yeah.
So, right. Yeah. Because it wouldn't make sense. We wouldn't have a time traveling
show. Oh, and then Anthony's dead, so, yeah.
Yeah, because he got shot twice. So I'm assuming that they found him before he could blow up the mothership. They took the mothership, blew up the building, and then that's it. Poor Anthony.
Yeah.
He tried.
So, which I don't, clearly they didn't know what Anthony's true plan was, but that he talked to Lucy and everything, mm-hmm. their plan to blow up the lifeboat. Otherwise, I think the smart move would hide Anthony as well, so that when maybe they think, like, oh, maybe this is true, and they blow up the lifeboat, and then boom, there you go.
That would be insane.
Yes. But he says, it tells Lucy, like, when you see that big explosion in Oakland, just know that I did it, and you should blow up yours.
Yeah, see, that wouldn't be evidence enough for me. Because he says that when you see the big explosion, just blow yours up.
Well, I mean, I don't think he was thinking that he was actually going to get caught.
So. No, I know, but if I was Lucy, hearing that, it's like, well, that's not enough for me. I'd have to.
No, I completely agree with you, but I'm thinking if the mothership actually blew up with the building, that thing is huge. So I'm thinking if you blew up something with all of that mechanics and all of that stuff with a nuke...
That would be a big
explosion.
There's
also a nuke inside.
Oh, yeah, there is a nuke. Yeah.
So that's why when he said if you can see an explosion from the satellite...
Right.
That's how you know that the mother...
So they're looking for a mushroom cloud.
Pretty much. So that's why it didn't make sense. That's why I agree with you that the mothership isn't blown up because there was still terrain there.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and even when they go over to their roof, he says, I don't see any debris from the mothership at all. So, so clearly...
They're definitely gone.
Yeah. They did not actually blow it up. So, but I would think, like, even if the time machine had been there, the mothership had been there, and they'd blown it up, they'd still go there to the location, verify it before blowing it up.
Yeah.
But I kind of dig the relationship between Lucy and Agent Christopher. I mean, they seem to be pretty much above board with each other.
Well, they kind of have to at this point because of the fact that Lucy's kind of relying on Agent Christopher to bring her sister back, and then vice versa. Agent Christopher's like, Lucy, you need to help me with all of this stuff.
But I do agree with Lucy at the beginning of the episode when she says, I can understand why I took this, because how much progress have you made in trying to help me figure out how to get my sister back? And Agent Christopher's like, it's tough.
Oh, and the chat, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but the chat was also asking that they didn't want us to go over the fact that Gia noticed that Wyatt told Lucy about everything. So I have a...
Right.
I'm not quite sure what you guys wanted to talk about that, but I'm assuming it's
just
because...
mention.
No, they do have that conversation. And you can see Wyatt's, like Gia's reaction when Lucy has that moment. She's like, well, all right. Because after Gia says, like, if you're in a relationship with somebody, if you love somebody, you know, you tell them everything. And
so there's the kind of the love connection between Wyatt and Lucy.
Yeah, so I'm assuming it's the ship. Well, it's the shipping of it.
Well, I don't know, because even she says, if you're friends with somebody, Gia didn't mention it.
But she did pause and say, but if you love someone.
Well, because she's talking about her and Rufus.
I know.
But there was a little bit of an insinuation.
Yeah. It's hitting the champagne bottle on that Wyatt-Lucy ship and sending it off into Like, I get it. So I understand that. In my brain, I was seeing it as, I was scared it was going to start a fight with Wyatt, not Wyatt, with Rufus and Gia going, Wyatt tells Lucy everything.
We haven't seen that yet.
I know, but that's also in my comedic brain because the fact that she smiled after when she said, but Wyatt told you, huh? And she's like, yeah. And they had that moment of like, right. And she's like, you're right. All right, here we go. There was like a moment of her being very happy that Wyatt and Lucy might be getting closer.
Yeah.
And that's what I was getting from it. I got more of a hurt feeling.
Like, I read both sides. I kind of saw both sides.
I also agree with that. That's why I thought there was going to be a fight after. I mean, we haven't seen the actual
I was thinking you were a fight between Gia and
Rufus. No, well, maybe.
Cat fight.
Oh, I don't know about that. But yes.
I'm joking.
I forgot what I was talking about. But yes, but like the fact that, yes, like I said, I think it was that start of like that whole like people are starting to notice that Wyatt and Lucy are getting closer. But at the same time, I think Gia's like, okay, what the hell? What's going on with our relationship?
Yeah.
Because my boyfriend's just being sent out and things like that. What's going on?
Just being sent out.
Yeah.
We also see things going horribly wrong there for Wyatt because the stewardesses come back. They bust out.
As soon as they walked in, I was like, oh, God, no.
See you later.
Jeez. Especially because I was like, I forgot that he told them that he was an old high school friend. So as soon as she's like, oh, you found your friend. I was like, I know that you two are friends. Why are you still... Crap. It's
sucked. You've got that. You've also got the drunk guy that was on Claire's flight that wants to get a drink with her, and Wyatt's got to give him like.
So poor Wyatt has to beat everybody up.
But I mean, it's also maybe it's the best way to get his anger out. I don't know. Yeah.
Finally, though, he realized that, man, I'm running out of options, so I just need to kidnap this guy. That's what we need to do. And Rufus is like, what are you doing? Maybe we should just let this go. I mean, I don't
know. You know that wasn't going to happen once he was already back.
Why is I going to be that close and not walk away?
Yeah.
But so the idea is like, all right, bring him in. I will kidnap Joel and we'll just go on a little drive just to keep him away for the next 12 hours. And then
see, that's a nice way about it. I just thought solid shot to the cojones and it could take him out like that. You know, it's not pleasant for the night.
No.
You just.
I mean, but it also would, I guess it would have also looked suspicious if the bartender, assuming the only bartender working that night is just missing.
Yeah.
So I understand that too. So it just kind of made sense for him to get in trouble with this cop who obviously doesn't wear his seatbelt.
That's right. And, I'm not a 9-year-old.
Yeah. I was like, wow, 80s. And the fact that he gets arrested because he's a stalker. I like that the friend actually was like, hey, you know, back up, you know, kind of thing, which I thought was really interesting. And then the fact that they closed down the bar because they're like, oh, there's no point. The tornado's going to hit. We're going to lose power. Let's just all go home.
Yeah, there's a lot of glass in there around this way.
No, it makes sense. It would be a really dumb place to hang out. And then they clicked and starting to get brown chicken, brown cow up in there. So,
that's right. There you go.
But I didn't understand what he was going to do when he was like, so he knocked out the cop and he grabs his gun and he's like, all right, I'm going to go break him up. I'm like, how? You're just going to bust in there and be like, everybody out of here.
Well, that's
put
what
your
he
clothes
did.
Back on. I know. That's why I was like, what happened?
By that point, I guess all options are out of
it. Yeah, I just need to scare them, I guess, enough. And I felt bad because it was so real to the point where he's like, I'm taking you. Or no, the guy was like, I'm leaving. I don't want to be part of this. And she's like, no, stay with me, clearly, because she's frightened. And he's like, no, no one's going to die. Everything's going to be fine. I'm just going to take him, and you can figure yourself out. And just left.
Well, that's what I expected him to do. Well, what else is he
going
to do?
I don't know. I thought he was going to explain it, and then it was going to be a long thing. And I'm they thought he was future. Crazy. I thought, because he was already starting, where he was already like, I'm trying to save someone else's life. And I was like, are we going to tell them what's happening? Or are we going to... I didn't know where he was going with that.
I don't know. Like, if you were to just explain that story. One, you're holding a gun, so it's already a tense situation. But then you tell them this really fantastic story.
So you got their
story.
Attention.
Yeah. Yeah, it was weird. And again, Joel was already ready. He was like, I don't need this girl. I could just go. Right. Like, you know. So it was very interesting to see how this was going to play out. So that's why I was like, I don't know what's happening. Would you tell them? Would you not tell them?
I thought if he just took the pair of handcuffs and he went and he took the guy and took him to a local park.
He could have just handcuffed monkey him bars. In the hotel.
Well, she still could have gotten to it. So, but if you take him,
no, I meant like downstairs somewhere because right. She would have been too frightened to go find this dude. I mean, at least at this point, yeah. I have no idea. There's so much happening. I was just like, I don't know where we're going with this. But as soon as they went outside, I was like, this guy's not going to be able to get keys out in the middle of a tornado. How is that going to work? And it didn't work out for him.
No.
The guy ran. Smart. Extremely freaking smart.
Yeah, I'd run if I had a chance to get away from the guy.
Yeah.
Because like, you have no idea, like, this guy could just take me out to somewhere to kill me.
Especially because of the fact that he was just stated as a stalker, technically. Yeah. So he's probably like, I don't want to die.
Yeah, sure. And if Wyatt wasn't a nicer guy, he probably would just take him out to kill him.
You know? No, correct. I thought he was going to do it right then and there. Just like, all right, we're good.
Let's go.
And go.
But Joel gets
so
away.
Sad.
And then gets tripped up by a tree branch and then flips over a car and cracks his head.
Oh, my God. That smack into the step. Ugh. I was like, ow, 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 ugh. Ow.
He died, right?
Oh, yeah. His head was split open from the back.
Oh, yeah. And it was like, just first, it was like, oh, I'm okay. At first, I thought
but
maybe...
But that's technically...
That's how it happens, yeah.
Yeah, to a point, because we don't know how bad the hit was.
I thought maybe it broke his neck or something. He was gonna
be
paralyzed.
I thought it was, too. But when I saw that it hit back here, I was like, nope, that head is caved in and open. That is what's happening, and it's gross.
Yeah.
Especially when he, like, pulled him up, and you can see because the wind was...
Yes.
So gross.
So poor Joel ends up passing away right there in the parking lot of the Toledo Express Inn. And his poor, we'll never know exactly what happened to his poor sister and little nephew.
So this was my prediction. Obviously, I was incorrect because it makes more sense now to see that Flynn actually gave them wrong information. I thought that the son of his sister was actually the killer, the serial killer, and that maybe something would have happened And he did
because they
die.
Made a big thing about that. That
yeah,
oh,
he kept
my
bringing
sister,
up, he kept
my,
bringing
that,
up his sister twice, yeah. And I was like, why is this information? Oh, this must be vital. So I was thinking that so he was going to die at any point in time at this moment, and then the sister would to further the plot. The sister and the girl met because maybe she felt guilty that Claire felt guilty that he died like. In the same situation that they were in.
I mean, you never know. It could be that it was killed by the son of the sister was it Jennifer, her name?
Yes.
His wife? Yeah, she was killed by him, and the other guy took credit for it. Just
Jessica, it's not Jennifer.
Jessica, yeah.
Well, yeah, like there's I said, it could go in any way, so I definitely thought it was going to be the son. It's just, but you brought up the point of like, well, how is that supposed to work? Because they technically never saw each other again, so wouldn't that mean Claire would be the one raising the kid, and that's what I was saying, that maybe the sister, maybe she went to the funeral because she felt guilty, met the sister, and, like, maybe, I don't know, helped raise it? I don't know. Like,
but it could be that Rittenhouse went back, and Rittenhouse had Jessica killed, and the other guy just, you know, he was either paid off, or he was whatever,
and to take care of the kid. Or, like I said, maybe, Jessica did die in the tornado, he ends up taking the kid, they get together, and then maybe she finds out she doesn't have children, he splits for whatever reason, because it was just a hookup night, and then she's just stuck with the kid.
Could be aliens, too.
Sure, why not? Throw it in there.
A lot of viable thoughts.
Viable theories.
So, there's a lot happening, but I wasn't... We all kind of knew on the same boat that there's no way that...
Jessica?
Wait, Jessica was going to be alive.
Yeah, there's no way that you came back from that. I mean, there was one thing where it's like, because Wyatt does talk in the lifeboat with Rufus, like, well, you know, I don't know if... to answer your question, if Jessica would not be happy with me, she'd be horrified by what I did to bring her back into...
Which would have been an interesting dynamic if he came back and she was alive. You know, it would have been...
I just wanted to see where they would take the story if Jessica lived.
Right. What did you think the odds were? Yeah. That she was going he was going to come back and she was going to be alive, or
nope.
That she was still
I knew that
dead?
She wasn't going to be alive.
It didn't seem like it, yeah.
No. I was already thinking that there has to be something to keep him fighting or upset or whatever... throughout the thing. It sucks, but I feel like that's the only driving force that he has.
But I also feel like learning this lesson, say he does find out the real name of the killer eventually, would he, after going through this experience, would he try to go back and try to save her?
Yep.
Or just like,
I think he'd do it again?
I think he'd do it again.
Look how horribly this went.
Did you see how he reacted when we found out that Jessica wasn't alive at the end?
Yeah, he started freaking.
He started freaking out. I feel like this is the type, like he told Lucy he's not going to stop.
You kind of lose your sanity.
Was so close, and to find out that even though this guy died and he wasn't even trying to kill him, he was just trying to get him away from each other, he died in his hands on an accident, and then the fact that he still couldn't get his wife back, that's going to break anyone's psyche, period. Whether it's been years or just happened 24, like less than 2 hours ago.
I mean, I think it's a big difference between Wyatt and Flynn, because Flynn would take that and just like, oh, I'm going to keep going back again and again and again to try to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And we see that's not necessarily working out for him either.
Well, that's why I wanted that's why I want it to happen, because I want Flynn to be like, we are actually, like, do you see what's happening?
You're
becoming
me.
Flynn.
Yeah, you're
and then he's going to be like, oh my God, then maybe he'll stop. But I feel like that's going to be enough where he's just going to be like, no, and then maybe he'll kill Flynn. I have no idea. And
if he stays in the story.
Yeah.
They could remove him from the story in this episode.
I think he's going
to
be just...
I mean, we still have a couple
He's
going to
be away from the team for at least an episode, but there's no way he's out of the show. No.
It would be a bold move to have him out of the show.
No,
I think
it would
be very interesting.
I mean, like I said, he could have gotten another project and we just don't know about it.
Yeah, but I mean, just to make a choice like that, to take him out like that, could be very interesting.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah.
So we do see they come back to present day. Jessica, sadly, as Lucy reports, is still dead. The other two girls are alive, but the person that killed Jessica, they still don't know the ID of that killer.
No, I definitely agree with you. I think Rittenhouse paid off this serial killer to say that he killed Jessica, got money for it probably or something out of it, and that we actually don't know who the killer is, and we probably will never know.
What's fascinating, though, is because Lucy's father is, I mean, he's... Rittenhouse
for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so if he's there, I wonder if there was this whole big plan that it be Lucy that would be the historian on this, and that Wyatt would be, you know, I wonder if they knew the bigger picture of the team that was coming together, and therefore that was why Jessica was killed.
I don't know. I do not want to have Rittenhouse involved in the murder of Jessica, because I feel like I always hate the shows where the, you know, the bad guy's responsible every single thing that's ever happened in the entire universe. Like, some things are terrible.
I'd rather Rittenhouse be involved with the fact that they made him lie and say that he did kill Jessica. But he actually didn't. There's actually somebody else. But I don't think it's Rittenhouse either. I think that would be way too easy. Mm. And I would actually be upset if that was the case.
Yeah. But, of course, Wyatt freaks out when he finds out that Jessica's still dead.
Which makes sense.
And Lucy then goes right to her father's house, because after seeing the photos that Agent Christopher has, realizes, oh, my gosh, Mason's meeting with my father. He's part of Rittenhouse. And Lucy's father says, oh my gosh, it's so great to be able to talk to you.
What a weird response.
No. I think he's just seeing it as, you're my daughter, and he probably just doesn't really... He's trying to convince her to be on his side.
And he's so convinced of it himself that he thinks he's on the right side.
Well, as she says, it's Rittenhouse is in your blood, it's your legacy, it's a gift.
Yeah, so he just thinks it's a matter of time, and he probably knows about the journal. So he's probably thinking, she's going to eventually help me.
Now, is it possible that Rittenhouse really is a gift?
Well, I guess why don't really, we make
I don't
it?
Know.
Not the bad guys?
Well, let's make a prediction on that.
Yeah. I want to see what you guys actually
think. I don't think it's going to happen that way, but I think it would be very fascinating if Rittenhouse turned out to be the good guys.
Really? And you think that Flynn is just... So that's like your prediction?
I don't think it's going to happen that way, but it's just like, wow, wouldn't that be a mind trip? If they spun it like that, and
I don't know, because I mean, the say that Flynn, knowing what Rittenhouse's plan is, I can't see any way that they're going to be painted as the good guys. Because Flynn is, even though his actions aren't right, at least for right now, he is on our side, so to speak, because he's keeping Rittenhouse away from the time machine.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, it can go either way. If they decide to flip it and make Rittenhouse actually like good, I wouldn't even know who our baddie is besides Flynn. Just terrorizing everybody, but I also feel like it would get worse if he found out that Rittenhouse was actually a good organization. I feel like at that point he's like, then why'd you kill my parent or my family?
Oh, you know what, though? They can't, because they were willing to kill anybody, and they were willing to, right from the beginning, they were threatening Rufus. And
well, we saw the origins of Rittenhouse with, you know, their man back in the 1770s. I mean, not a charming guy. So I don't think it's gonna be right.
I don't know. I don't think that's the case, but if they decided to just flip a freaking switch, I would be very interested to see how they would do it.
Yeah.
Well, we're coming in with three episodes left. Do we think we're going to get any kind of resolution, kind of close the book on the Rittenhouse chapter, or where it's going to be left on a cliffhanger and hopefully we get a season two?
I guess my prediction would be that we would end on a cliffhanger, but we would capture Flynn. We wouldn't know what to do after that. That would just be the end. They're like, we got him, and then it would just end there.
But is Flynn really the guy to even capture? Like, he doesn't even sound like... Yeah.
Yeah, they lost track of sight of, like, the Rittenhouse thing. I think Mason's going to get... Mason's going to get away at one point, because clearly he's not... After we had that talk with Agent Christopher and Mason in there, she obviously knows something, and he's just like, what the hell's going on? I love the conversation of Mason going, I don't know why we're sitting there lying to... You know, like, you're keeping lies for me. And I'm like, yeah, shut up. But, like, obviously he's trying to play a role, so I don't think he knows that she knows, which I think is
a good scene.
Weird. That was so weird. But, yeah, I think Mason's probably going to go on the run, probably go with Rittenhouse and try to get out of this situation. I think they're going to capture Flynn, and they're going to question him in some way, shape, and form, and then that's about it. But I don't think we're going to get her sister back in the next three episodes. I'd be very surprised. And I think Wyatt's going to be different when he gets back.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be harder to deal with. Sorry.
I like what you said about Mason having made his choice, and he made his choice too, and he went the other way, and it's like, okay, that's an interesting new dynamic that's playing out, so I'm looking forward to seeing that. And, God, what the hell's going to happen here?
Yeah.
Well,
Mason is such a wild card. I'd really like to have an episode that kind of delves more into Mason's backstory.
Where he goes to the dark side completely or something. Because he's just a guy that's... They're controlling him by the money. They're controlling him by fear. But if he really goes to the other side...
Well, that's what I said. I mean, I've been saying since episode one that I think that Mason is on a larger scale. He's trying to get every player out of the way so that he can take all the cookies for himself. I don't know how else... I'm running out of analogies. But I think so. I think that he... he's always been part of Rittenhouse, but he wants to be bigger than Rittenhouse. I mean, again, this is me just over-speculating. That's just what I want, just to get everybody out of the way. But a lot of people in the chat have something interesting. I want to know what you guys think.
Oh, please.
They think that they're like, what if Wyatt is, let's say, like a sleeper agent for Rittenhouse and doesn't know about it? Let's say.
Oh, wow. Him. That'd be cool.
Hold on. And he's actually the one that killed his wife because Rittenhouse is controlling him.
Whoa. I like that.
Because the fact that we don't actually know who's the killer.
Somebody said that?
No, a lot of people did. There's a bunch of different people. Cunningham, 2014. Renji, 90998.
That'd be interesting. That would.
Yeah. No, like, everybody's kind of on the same boat. It would be interesting. I just don't know what they would do with it.
But that,
it
also, that could be really emotional. That would.
Yeah, and that would break him at that point in time, and then maybe that's enough for him to be like, I'm sorry, guys. This is all I know. You know.
Yeah, speaking of our good old online thing, I know they're doing a real big thing with Timeless because the DVR ratings are good, but the real lifetime
they need to be better.
They need to be better.
So everybody, get on your social media and save the show. I like Eric Kripke's thing. Like, hey, it's easy to, you know, it's all those campaigns start in May when it's already too late. Let's get that campaign going.
So they need us all to watch it live, not as a replay, not as a
It's not supposed to be recorded.
A rebroadcast. You got to watch it live at the time that it airs.
Yeah,
there you go. Get this off the bubble, and let's put it all the way safely on the Renew.
Right. I like that.
Well, there you go. Yeah. All right, folks, that's going to do it for this episode of the Timeless After Show. My, how time flies when you're in a time machine.
But folks,
you can always like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Thanks, everybody, for hopping in your chat. Love to hear your theories. Maybe I'm a sleeper agent. Who knows?
We'll find out. I always knew it. I knew it.
You guys knew it? Why didn't you tell me?
Because you're a sleeper agent?
Okay.
But if we told you were asleep.
Oh, love it. If you want to continue the conversation with us even after the show's over, Chris, where can they find you?
At Chris Howard Live on Twitter and Instagram.
I'm Alexis Torres. You can find me all over social media, Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff, Snapchat, YouTube, at atorres890. Don't forget to follow our other team member and crew member, Carrie Lane, at Carrie D Lane.
That's right. And can they play games against you, Alexis?
Yes, sorry. I haven't had much time to do that because I'm usually working now, but I also have some other podcasts coming out that are not from AfterBuzz that I will be talking about sooner or later.
Ooh.
So definitely catch me up on that. And then video games will be happening soon, I promise.
Love it, love it, love it. And you can follow me on Twitter or don't. I don't know. It's up to you guys. At Happy Go Jackie. Folks, that's going to do it for this episode of the Timeless After Show. We'll be back here next Monday night with another edition. Until then, safe travels.
Bye, guys. Ciao.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.